But I remember I was in Romania many years ago, and I was walking around. It was one of the few times that I've actually been in Bucharest, and because usually I go to Cluj and I go see my family, but I was actually in Bucharest, and I was walking around, and I wanted to see the capital of Romania, and I'm taking a look and seeing everything. And how many of you guys have been back to Romania since you came to the States? Do you guys have like a what story? Like a Romanian what just happened? Because I'm walking around in Bucharest and looking at the buildings and looking at the sites, and this guy comes up to me and he's like, psst, psst. I'm like, what? And he's like, do you want to buy some Armani ties? I'm like, what? I didn't know Mr. Armani sold ties on the street. He's like, yeah, do you want to buy some Armani ties? I'm like, well, I don't know. Are they real? And he's like, yeah, it's real silk. It's 100% silk, just nothing but top quality material. I'm like, wow, okay, Armani ties, 100% silk. This is good quality, everything. How much are they? Because I'm thinking to myself, there's no way I can afford an Armani tie. They're like, what, $100, $200? I don't even know how much they are. But this guy's like, it's $3. I'm like, what? An Armani tie for $3? He's like, yeah. I'm like, let me see it. So he opens up his coat, kid you not, opens up his coat, pulls out a tie, and it looked like a tie. And it looked like silk. But then I flip it to the back, and where it has the logo, it says Armani, but it was Armani with two E's at the end. So I'm like, okay, all right, no wonder it's worth $3, because it's not the real Armani. It doesn't carry the name of the real designer. And we run into these kind of things all over the place. You know, you have Mercedes certified pre-owned, and Mercedes puts their name on the car or on the product, and because it has their name and their reputation behind it, you know that you can trust it, right? Or I was watching an infomercial not that long ago, because you have to every once in a while, because they're fun. And it was George Foreman doing the George Foreman grill. And he's talking about how he would not lend his name to just any product. And this is a quality product, and it's the only reason why he stamped his name on it. And it teaches us a lesson, because there is something when you give your name to something, or when you attach your name to something. And now, as there are people getting ready to go on this mission trip to Mexico and going on missions in general, the subject that Pastor Mishka asked me to speak on was, why do we need to go in the name of Jesus? Why is that so important? And like I said, I want to leave time for the Romanian sermon, so I'm just going to go over a couple ideas that I had, because I was doing research and I was like, man, there's so many things, so many reasons why we should go in the name of Jesus. So I'm just going to list them to you guys and let the word speak. But first of all, what isn't going in the name of Jesus? If we're supposed to go in the name of Jesus, what isn't it to go? What does it not mean to go in the name of Jesus? Well, the name of Jesus, it's not a magic charm, right? It's not a magic formula. This isn't Harry Potter, okay? We're not saying hocus pocus. We're not, you know, just blurting out the name of Jesus, and that's somehow going to have some sort of magical reaction, right? Because we have this awesome little snippet, this awesome story in Acts chapter 19, where this guy decides to go and cast out a demon. And he says to the demon-possessed man, in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches, I command you to come out of this man. And it's hilarious, because the demon speaks and he's like, you know what? I know Jesus, and I'm aware of Paul, but I have no idea who you are. And then he proceeds to beat up these people, right? He just jumps on them and just beats them to a pulp. So just naming the name of Jesus it's not like a magic incantation. We're not about magic over here, right? It's also not a philosophy. We have this awesome passage, the passage that I want to speak to you for tonight. It's Acts chapter 4, verse 12, where It says that there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name given given to men under heaven by which people must be saved. There's no other name given under heaven by which people must be saved. And I was thinking about this, and sometimes we confuse the person of Jesus with maybe his teachings or his philosophy, but the name of Jesus is not a philosophy. It's not salvation in the teachings of Jesus, but it's salvation in the person of Jesus. And the reality is that we can live and you can live out the teachings of Jesus Christ and yet still be lost. Do you realize that? You can live out the teachings of Christ and still end up in hell. Because Matthew chapter 5 verse 12 tells us, for I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that, surpasses that of the Pharisees and the scribes, there's no way that you're going to see the kingdom of God. And those guys were on it. I mean, they took the Bible and they tried to live out even more meticulously than we do every single word of Scripture. And Jesus says, if your righteousness doesn't exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not see the kingdom of God. Because it's not the teachings or it's not the philosophy of Jesus. It's also not about culture. When we talk about the name of Jesus, it's not about a culture. I think one of the biggest mistakes that missionaries made in the 19th and the 18th and 19th centuries was trying to turn the natives, you know, of Africa or of Asia or of the Pacific Islands, wherever they went to preach the gospel, into good little white Europeans. And they combined the preaching of the gospel with imposing their own culture upon these peoples. But the reality is that going in the name of Jesus is not about culture. They'll look different in India than you look here in Anaheim, California. They'll look different and they'll behave different in Romania and in Africa and in China than we do over here. So it's not about culture. And lastly, it's not the church. When we say that we preach the name of Jesus, we're not preaching a church. We're not preaching Emmanuel Church. We're not preaching the Pentecostal denomination. We're not preaching any of these things. We're not preaching a church. We're preaching Jesus Christ. We don't want people necessarily to join a church. We want them to get to know Jesus. Amen? Amen. So if these are the things that it's not, then what is it? What does it mean to go in the name of Jesus? And why should we go in the name of Jesus? And like I said, I have 10 points that I want to iterate, and I don't want to scare you guys, so I'll just list them for you guys, and I'll give you the scriptural background, because what we hear a lot about today is, you know what, I believe what I believe, and you can believe what you believe, and we should all just kind of leave it at that, right? And a lot of us are tempted to kind of back away from preaching the name of Jesus because, you know, if there's a good Buddhist out there or a good Muslim out there or a faithful Hindu out there, then who are we to say that our religion is better, right? That's kind of the pressure that's put on us. And if you've ever heard my dad speak, he has stories of the communist government coming up to him and saying, you know what, it's fine, go ahead and preach. We're not telling you to stop preaching, but just don't preach in the name of Jesus. Don't mention the name of Jesus, because there is something special when you speak or invoke the name of Jesus Christ that happens, and that's what the world is afraid of. So what happens when we speak the name of Jesus, and why should we go in missions or in life in the name of Jesus? Well, first of all, the name of Jesus means miracles. Mark 9:39 says, "Don't stop him," Jesus said, "because there's no one who will perform a miracle in my name who can soon afterwards speak evil of me." So if you want to see miracles in your life, if you want to see miracles in the mission field that God placed you in, you can't just talk about God. You can't just talk about the force. You can't just talk about being good. You can't just talk about a culture. The power to perform miracles exists only in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because it's not us doing the miracles, but it's Jesus Christ doing them through us. So if you want to see miracles, the miraculous in your life, you need to live out the name of Jesus. Secondly, there is life in the name of Jesus. John 20:31 says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name." You know what? We live for 20, 30, 70, 80 years on this planet. But Jesus Christ promises that he is life. There is life in his name, not only here, but in the hereafter. If you want to live eternally with Christ, if you want to live eternally in heaven, if you want to live eternally and see your loved ones and enjoy the beauty and the majesty of heaven for all time, it is only through the name of Jesus Christ that we have life, life eternal. Thirdly, there's forgiveness. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, "Repent," Peter said to them, "and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." If you've ever heard a sermon and you realize that you're a sinner, you realize that you've messed up. If you're sitting here tonight and you realize that you've sinned and that you've messed up, it's not enough to be sorry. It's not enough to even say that you regret what you've done. Forgiveness is only available to you and to me in the name of Jesus Christ. We are cleansed and forgiven through him and him alone. We cannot do enough good works to cover our sin. We cannot hope to be better or to try harder. Forgiveness only happens in Jesus Christ. Number four, there is healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Acts 3, verse 6 says, "But Peter said to them, 'I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but what I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk.'" And what happened? The lame man got up, picked up his bed, and he walked, because there is healing power in the name of Jesus Christ. So if you need healing in your life, if you need healing in your relationship, if you need healing in your situation, Jesus Christ says that in his name, there is healing. Number five, healings, signs, and wonders. In Acts chapter 4, verse 30, it says, "Stretch out your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Again, if you want to see the miraculous, if you want to go beyond the ordinary, if you want to go beyond just the normalcy of this life, to see signs and wonders, to see God at work, this can only happen through the name of Jesus Christ. There is power over demons. Alex was talking about, and Pastor Mishka was talking about, what people often encounter when we go on mission trips, and that is the demonic. People who are oppressed and even possessed by demonic powers. Well, you know what? The power of the name of Jesus is greater than any demonic power, because it says in Acts 16:8, "But Paul was greatly aggravated and, turning to the Spirit, said, 'I command you, get out of her.'" No, he said, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came right out. It didn't wait. It didn't think about it. It didn't stop to kind of evaluate things. The demon came right out of that girl that was demon possessed. So if you're getting ready to go on a mission trip and you know that you will face these kinds of things, you will face the demonic, you will face evil spirits, the only way that you can have power and victory over them is through the name of Jesus Christ. Number seven, there is unity in Jesus, in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with my spirit and the power of the Lord Jesus." You know, we assemble over here. We are united over here. We are brought together over here, not because of our common interests. You know, if you hear the band, the worship team talking after like a Tuesday, they're talking about pedals, they're talking about like sound equipment, they're talking about wires and stuff. And I'm like, I have no idea what they're saying. No idea. I'm absolutely lost. We don't have that thing in common. We don't have that common point of interest. But what we do have in common is Jesus Christ. He is the one that brings Andre and me together, or Andrew and me together, or Jason and I together. It's not anything else. It is just the love and the unity that happens when we invoke the name of Jesus. So number eight is cleansing, sanctification, and justification. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, "And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Isn't that amazing? We can stand here and say, you know what? I know who I was, but I know what Jesus did for me. In his name, I was washed of my sins. In his name, I was declared justified, that I am right with God. Right now, as I stand before you, Jesus Christ says that I am, through him, I am right with God. And not only that, but daily, he sanctifies me through his name, makes me more and more into his image. Praise be to God. Number nine, there is love. 1 John 3:20 says, "Now this is his command, that we believe in the name of his son Jesus Christ and love one another as he commanded us." Love is a funny thing. For so many of us, it's so tied to emotions. But there's a love that's deeper. There's a love that's truer. There's a love that's more beautiful, and that's the love that we have through Jesus Christ, because we realize that love for him meant action. That love for him meant sacrifice. It wasn't butterflies. It was sacrifice. It was love in action. He gave everything for us. And that picture teaches us what it means to love, but not only teaches us, but it empowers us to love like he loved. Amen? And then the last thing is that the verse that I opened with, and that's that there is salvation in no other name other than Jesus Christ. So if you're getting ready to go on this mission trip, if you're getting ready to go to your school or to your job and witness to somebody over there, know that you can't cop out. There is no cop out. There is no way for you to fudge the lines. The Bible is clear on this. It's not enough to believe in God or a God. It's not enough to be a good person. It's not enough to do good things. There are lots of good people, sadly speaking, that are on their way to hell unless you and I do something about it. And that is preach the name of Jesus Christ. Because our God and the Word of God says that there is salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus Christ. So if this is what it means to go in the name of Jesus, if this is what it means to invoke the name of Jesus, my question to you is, why wouldn't you? Amen.